Hello and welcome to another episode of The Undetected Narcissist. Today I want to talk about when you get to that place and you realize you can't do it anymore. Enough is enough. You might love the person, but you realize that you don't like the way they treat you, the way they treat your friends, your family, maybe your kiddos, and you have to leave. It's just no longer going to work. So this podcast is for people that are either in an unhealthy relationship right now. You could be in an unhealthy work environment. You could also have a friend or family member that is, you recognize they're in that unhealthy place, struggling with someone that's narcissistic, and you want to help. So this podcast is really designed to support people, give them tools, maybe enlighten you a little bit, and most of all, keep you safe. Because the biggest thing that concerns me the most is, I did a blog post back in April, and I wrote down the 50 obstacles to leaving an abusive relationship. And when I did that, I had 25. Yeah. When I wrote the book, The Undetected Narcissist, I actually had 25. And at the end of writing that blog post, I realized that one more had to be added, and that was 51. And 51 is smear campaign. And as everyone across the world right now, we are noticing smear campaign with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. And we're all witnessing how someone that has mental health issues treats someone in court, how they will lie in court and tarnish your name and try to ruin your reputation and make you appear to be the abuser when in fact you're really not. You're the victim. And I have to say the smartest thing that Johnny Depp has done in all of this is hired the defense team, a psychologist, to come in and actually watch her do the testimony. And I think that is wonderful. It really is, because it lets everybody know who he has been dealing with all these years and how they go undetected and fooled. And so I think it was really, really just intelligent of him to do that, and I'm really happy. But the main reason why I want to talk about this subject right now is I realized that when I wrote the book, The Undetected Narcissist, I was shocked to discover that the average number for someone to finally leave an abusive relationship is 7. That number is really high. 7 attempts before you finally leave them. And I want to make that number go way down. And I really believe why people stay is because of the obstacles that they face. And the thing is you could be ready to leave that relationship and then not have all your ducks in a row, and you can have your children taken away from you. Family will pressure you to stay with that relationship, and you'll notice when I wrote my book, there was 3 people that tried talking me out of leaving that relationship with my ex, and it was my daughter, myself, and my ex, and actually another one was his sister. His sister didn't want me to break up the family, and neither did his mom. And that's a really hard thing, is a lot of people are told by family members in society that, oh, it's always hard in the beginning, you can make it work, you can make it last. But when you're in a relationship with someone that is narcissistic or abusive or has mental health issues where they aren't willing to get help and they're literally destroying your lives and the lives of other people, there comes a point where you have to say enough is enough, because they're slowly killing you, they're slowly chipping you away, and then you're left with mental health issues and you're You don't recognize yourself anymore. And I think that's a really big turning point for a lot of people, is when you stop and you say, hey, before I met this person, I was happy, I was smiling, I was outgoing, I felt more alive, and now I just feel like an empty shell. And it's really interesting how when you just stop and do self-reflection and realize how destructive psychological abuse really is. And it's hard. It's so hard because you can still love that person. You can still care about that person and want the highest and the best for that person. You just realize they're not healthy. And where they're at isn't healthy for you or anyone involved. And so on this list, I'm going to create a link to the podcast, the blog post that I wrote about the 50 obstacles that can keep you trapped in an abusive relationship. Because yeah, I had 25. And the ones that I had was, I believed his threats. I really believed his threats. I believed it was in our son's best interest to try to make it work. I had pressure from my daughter to stay in the relationship. There was moments where I was in denial. I didn't want to think of him as being a monster, but he was. And the other one was, our kiddo is disabled. He has cerebral palsy. And that was, you know, rather challenging as well. There was family pressure. There was fear of retaliation. And there was threats. There's the fear of losing child custody. There's financial abuse. There's financial despair. There's guilt. There's homelessness. There is, you can hope that the violence will cease. You can be isolated. There's so many things. You can also be struggling with low self-esteem. And you could try to go to mediation, but sometimes mediation really doesn't work. Because if the mediator doesn't know who you're dealing with, well, how can they really help you sometimes? And there's also, you might not have a place to go. You seriously might not have a place to go. You might not have the job skills to leave that person or know of any options out there. You might be a previously abused victim. You could have prior negative court experiences, and I did. And you can also, they can promise they're going to change. They can promise. And that one is really hard because you want to give them the benefit of the doubt. You really do. You can have religious beliefs and be misguided by spiritual teachings. You could believe that, well, maybe it's safer to stay. And you can be stuck in shame and embarrassment. You could have Stockholm syndrome. Sorry about that. That was my cat. So you could also not have transportation. Lack of transportation makes it really difficult to leave your abuser. And you could be unaware that abuse is a criminal offense. And it's true. And you could have undocumented victims. And let's say you're an immigrant and you could be deported. And that can be really, really scary. So I want to stress this to anyone who is listening right now. If you are in that place where you realize this relationship is slowly ruining your life, and I have to say kind of killing you, because in a way it does sort of, it kills the light, it kills the spirit, it kills what made you so wonderful and so magical to begin with. And if you are in that place where you realize, hey, I'm trapped, I'm stuck, I can't be in this relationship anymore. You know someone that can't be in that relationship anymore. I want you to share this information. I want you to go, if you can, to the blog post and look at the 50 obstacles that can keep you trapped. because why I think that number is so high, the number seven, is people have all the good intentions to leave. And then when they do leave, they realize they missed an obstacle and they have to go back. Or they may not realize that that obstacle, once they leave, can be used against them, or they can be manipulated or threatened that, hey, I'm going to take the kid away from you. I'm going to do this and that. And the person goes into panic mode because you probably might be having PTSD. You could be stuck in, you know, having in trauma. And it does take your brain a while, at least a year or two, to get back to normal after you've been psychologically abused. And so I want to make sure you stay safe, your kiddos stay safe, your family members, your friends, you know, even yourself. Just stay safe and look at all the obstacles that could prevent you from safely leaving. Because I don't want you to try seven times and then the seventh attempt you finally get out. Because that's like months and years of unnecessary trauma that you can suffer. And I don't want that for you. And so if you have a really close friend that you trust and you know would keep this information safe with you, you can sit down with them and go over, hey, let's go over this list. What is there anything on this list that could keep me trapped? Is there anything on this list that might come back and haunt me later once I leave this person? Because I want you, when you leave, that it's a done deal. You've done it. If you need to give your friend money to hold on to you, do it. If you need to have a safety phone on hand where your, you know, your ex or that abusive person doesn't know about it, do it, okay? If you need to have transportation set up, you can, you know, talk to a friend or a family member and say, hey, that when I call you at this time, I need you to come pick me up. I'm going to give you a suitcase ahead of time with my stuff or the stuff of my kids. And it's hard because you'll know when you read the book, The Undetected Narcissist, the biggest obstacle for me leaving my abusive relationship was 95% of the stuff in the house was all mine. Everything was pretty much mine. And I could not, within 4 hours or 8 hours, pack up the whole house and move away. And the other obstacle for me was money. I didn't have the money to rent a truck or to put a deposit down on a new place or to even pay the first month's rent. There was lots of things that I couldn't have done it. And I didn't have the empty boxes or the packing tape or all these things, you know, we have to take into consideration. Like, hey, is there going to be water at the new place? Is there going to be electricity? Is there going to be food? You know, what am I going to have on hand? So if there's a way where you can speak to someone that maybe is an advocate, where you talk to them ahead of time and say, hey, I need to do this. I need help. You know, what do you recommend? Come up with a game plan, okay? Really come up with a game plan. So when you do leave, everyone is safe. And sometimes I tell a lot of people, don't tell your kiddos ahead of time. I mean, don't, because by accident, they can do a slip of the tongue, or by accident, they can just mumble something under their breath, or they can start acting distant or aloof, and the abuser can pick up on that stuff. And you don't want your kids or someone that you are questionable about, can I trust them? Are they going to keep this private and stuff? You don't want them to give, you know, away your plan of escape. You really, really don't. And so I just wanted to talk about this today because it is important, because we all get to a place where we realize that this isn't healthy, this isn't working, and it's tough because we all have like dreams and expectations and hopes of a person changing and doing the right things, and sometimes they do try and other times they don't, but there comes a point where it's like this isn't working and it is slowly destroying you and changing you into someone you don't like or even recognize anymore. So there's one last thing that I need to share that's really important. And this ties into the obstacles that can lead you going back to the abuser. Not many people know what aftershock is. And aftershock is when you have left that abusive person, and a lot of people think that, oh, well, when you leave that person, everything's gonna be fine. You'll be okay. That's not true. You will experience aftershock. I did. I know a lot of other people do. If you don't experience aftershock, that's very, very rare. But a lot of people do experience aftershock. So I wanna talk about that right now because it's so important. So aftershock happens because you're no longer in that fight survival mode. And that fight survival mode is what keeps you engaged. So when you leave the abusive relationship, you're no longer in it. And you were so used to for months or years being railroaded or dragged under the bus or just being stuck in feeling overwhelmed and just lost. And so aftershock really feels like a deep sense of despair. You can have total heartbreak because you come to this realization that it's not going to work. You could feel overwhelmed because you are in a new situation, and you can even get stuck in these obsessive thoughts where it's like your brain is on this hamster wheel going over and over and over again, like, well, I could have done this, or we should have done this, or that could have happened, or maybe I should have took this person's advice. And you're trying to get stuck in your head of, well, how could have I fixed this? And, or maybe there was a different resolution instead of me staying in this relationship. And the hard thing I gotta say is when you go to that realization and you're experiencing that aftershock, you will feel exhausted. All right, it's like you ran a marathon or you did get dragged under the bus. Okay, for some people they can barely function. It can be hard for them to get out of bed. It can be difficult to eat food. They have lost their motivation and desire to, let's say, even go to work or do things productive. That you could be stuck having panic attacks. And all these things really are, like to say, PTSD symptoms. You could even struggle with trying to go to sleep because your brain just will not shut off. And you're having all these survival mode feelings. It's like you're stuck in hypervigilance, okay? And so there are some dangers of unhealed aftershock that I just want to, you know, briefly cover here. Is the dangers that I really find is, number one, when you leave, you need to have no contact, okay? No contact with your abuser for at least, I would say, 3 weeks, okay? The first 2 weeks are the hardest, trust me. They are the hardest. The third week is where you're starting to you're getting used to not being in that environment anymore. And if you remember, it takes 20 to 38 days for a new habit to become, you know, a permanent behavior. You're getting into this new habit, this new way of living without being constantly fighting and constantly worrying and struggling. You're starting to, you know, get back to a place of where you're just trying to find yourself. And it can be really hard. And if you left the narcissist, the aftershock, yes, it does lead you to second guess yourself. You know, like, did I make the right, you know, choice? Did I make a mistake? You know, hey, I really love this person. Maybe, you know, maybe they will change. And that's the problem. When you start second guessing yourself, you might be tempted to break the no contact. And trust me, when you break that no contact, they'll try to suck you back in. They'll try to suck you back in, or they may be super mad at you and they want to take revenge, and they can make all these threats to you, threats on taking the kids away, you know, threats of financial ruin or smearing you. They might have already found someone new and they can rub that new relationship in your face and say, oh, I'm with my soulmate now, you know, it was just a mistake to be with you. There's all these symptoms. It can even impact your ability to go back to work. And sometimes if you try to go back to work after you left your abuser, you're not functioning properly. You might not be thinking clearly. Everyone can see it. And what's really hard is then you could lose your job. And that's even more difficult because some people rely on, you know, having an income come in. They rely on health insurance and, you know, they rely on all these different resources. And so just be aware that you will go through aftershock and you might be stuck in this mindset that you just want to be left alone. You just want to be left alone. And you don't want to push away the people that are in your support system that are trying to help you. And sometimes when people are trying to help you, even that can trigger someone. And you can be stuck in this victim mentality. And it's just, it's really, really hard, okay? I just have to say it's hard. And if you're worried about the narcissistic person, if you have a child with them, I would go first to a place that you can speak to that has possibly resources and housing for you to go to. Because I pretty much believe that, or what I've been told, but I don't, every state might be different in this area, but let's say you go into a shelter that is for domestic violence. They might protect you and protect your kiddo where you don't have to let that person, the abuser, see your child that weekend or the next weekend. There might be some legal support that you can get or someone you can talk to that you can work it out. And just do your best, but be prepared that when you leave, you will have aftershock. Okay. It's totally normal and you can be stuck in all these different ways of thinking. And you could even try to defend the narcissist while you're in aftershock. And trust me, that won't work either. Your brain is scrambled, okay? Think about scrambled eggs, okay? It's devastating enough to survive all that psychological, mental, and emotional abuse, even physical or sexual abuse. But aftershock is completely different. Aftershock is where you are in a place of PTSD. You're dealing with something completely different and you need support, all right? And you really do need support. And so talk to someone and share this information with them. And just remember, the more you try to do something to stop this distraction to your life, the craziness, the feelings of guilt and all that, the better I think you're going to feel. Okay. And sometimes we do need those healthy distractions to just redirect us, to really redirect us, because when you're stuck in that aftershock and you just want to crawl into that hole and be left alone, that's when your mind can go to really dark places and you don't want to go there, okay? You don't want things to get progressively worse. You don't want to appear crazy to the judge when you're certainly not. You want to be in a good headspace, okay? And there are places you can go to. There's the Center for Hope and Safety. That's where I live. There are support groups, just like AA, for domestic violence, for any form of abuse. And I would look into that and try to get the help that you need. So this is just a little bonus material that I'm putting out there. And I also wanted to remind everyone that on June the 4th and the 5th in this year, 2022, I will be in Portland at the DoubleTree, the MeWe Fair, and I will be doing book signings and answering any questions people have. Then on June the 25th and the 26th, I will be in Eugene at the MeWe Fair at the Lane Event Center. And if any of you have any comments or questions, you can always email me at angela@undetectednarcissist.com. I hope you enjoyed this bonus material. It's really designed to support you and to support everyone else, and to just kind of give you information, give you tools, and steer you in the right direction so everyone stays healthy. Everyone can do what's right so your family's safe, your friends are safe, your kids are safe, and you are safe. So thanks for listening. Have a fantastic day, and many blessings to you. Goodbye.